message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Praise God, He is holy. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through 34 is our text this morning. It's good to get back in the Gospel of Mark. It's been about a month since we've been able to be there, so I look forward to sharing the Word with you this morning. You know, last week I got to brag on the Lord. Last week, what a great story last week, hey? Well, I get to brag on God again this week. You ready for it? That's good, isn't it? Well, last week I got to tell you how the Lord provided us some food through a trucking company and how the Lord provided some money to buy freezers. Well, this week I get a phone call from Family Dollar right here in Lacombe. Where's Mr. Eugene at? There he is. Well, you're moving around, brother. You're getting on your seat, man. You know we have assigned seats in this place, don't you? I'm just kidding, church, okay? But we are creatures of habit. I can tell you where you're going to sit every week, okay? So when I'm trying to think about who wasn't there on Sunday, I'm thinking, well, they weren't in their seat, and they weren't in their seat. Well, this week, first of all, let me back up a little bit. You know, Mr. Eugene, I love him to death, and that brother will witness to a rock and a tree, okay? So, Mr. Eugene, thank you for sharing the gospel wherever you go, brother. And Mr. Eugene was in Family Dollar and just talking to them, and in his conversations with him, he got some coat hangers for our clothing ministry. And actually, several years ago, his conversation with them is actually how we got our first hangers, hanging racks for our ministry when it was all squished back in one of the little bitty tiny rooms, okay? So he's in there having a conversation with them. They've been collecting food for the Lacombe Nursing Home. She called me, wanted to know if we wanted donations for our food bank. And she said that from now through December, they're collecting food as people go through the lines, they're buying stuff, and they put it in a basket. And they're going to give it to nursing home 1 week and us to 1 week. And I said, that's awesome. And I said, you know, we have a Second Harvest food bank. She says, we want to fill your food bank up. I said, praise the Lord, bring it on, sister. So it gets better. So Eugene brings over a box on Wednesday. And then Thursday I come in and Harry had already gone to pick up a bag. And then they call back and says, we've got four more bags for you to come get. I said, praise God, that's good. So I get over there and I go get it. You know, it's not just food, it's also toilet paper and it's stuff like that that we can give away as well. And when I got there, she says, Pastor, she says, look, the nursing home doesn't want anything else. She says, we're just going to give y'all the rest of it until December. Amen. So we thank God for that. So we're going to be either putting Mr. Harry and Mr. Eugene on delivery and go get them picking it up, okay?
I went back twice and got
two more times? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Woo!
There you go. All right, can you say the Lord's got His hand in it, church? All right, yeah. Amen. Those are just good things. I love to brag on the Lord that way, and it's good for you just to hear as well what God is doing. So just know that your prayers are not in vain. May you just continue to pray for the fruit of that ministry. This week is also our first actual full distribution for the Second Harvest Food Ministry. Through the month of September, we've kind of taken applications one-on-one. At this point, we have 47 families that have registered through Second Harvest Food Ministry. So we're going to do 20-something families this week, and in 2 weeks we'll do the other 20-something families. So praise God. And all those 47 families that have come in have had the gospel shared with them.
Amen.
Amen. So we're thankful. It's okay, babe. You can clap if you want to. Well, it's good to brag on the Lord because He's the one that's worthy of the praise. Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through verse 34 is where we're studying today. We were here about a month ago, as we were looking at the beginning part of Mark chapter 4 and learning in regards to what Jesus says about the seed being sown on the different soils in the kingdom. Well, today we come to a text, and that I was going to look at verse 21 through verse 24, 25, and what happens to see here in this passage of Scripture, as I began to study in context, it made sense to add the next couple of paragraphs with it as Jesus is talking about the kingdom. Really, In chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 34, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. He gives parables. When you get down to verse 21 through 34, Jesus is talking about the secrets of the kingdom. Now, I know when you were kids, and I'll be honest, even as an adult, you like secrets, don't you? Sometimes we get sucked into those secrets that we don't need to be pulled into. Well, even this morning, as we're getting ready, you know, you can hear a secret or you can't hear a secret. Here's what I mean by that. As we're getting ready this morning, I'm trying to put, you know, kids' clothes on, and my youngest, Zachary, as I'm leaning over to put his shoes on, he's like, "Daddy, I'm going to tell you a secret." You know, so I'm just kind of busy. I'm not really paying attention. And all I can hear is air. Because he's just right here in my ear, okay? And so so I stopped putting his shoes on. I said, "Now, what'd you say?" Now, he didn't change what he said or how he said it, but because I stopped to listen, I was able to hear what he was saying. Now, his secret was so important that he says, "Now, Daddy, if you see a snake, you have to kill it." Now, I just want you to understand something. He's been telling us that every day for I don't know how long. He wants us to hear that if you see a snake, you need to kill it. Okay? That's your gospel message. You may leave. If that was all you came for, you're in trouble. Okay? But here's the thing. I heard it, but I didn't hear it the first time. You got it? All I heard was white noise. But when I stopped to tune in and listen a little closer, I heard what he was saying. Jesus, in the teaching that we're going to see today, he's telling a secret to his disciples. And he tells them several times, listen to what I'm saying. It's the old saying, lean a little closer and you can hear. This morning, Jesus is teaching us as believers that if we want to really understand the secrets of the kingdom, we need to lean a little closer and hear it. All of us are very guilty, are we not, of coming and hearing a sermon but not hearing a sermon. I want to tell you this morning, lean a little closer and hear. Jesus is giving us this instruction. He's just said this in the parables of the sower on the seeds. And now he gets to verse 21 through verse 34. And he's wanting us to understand the secrets. He's wanting his disciples to lean closer and to hear what he's saying. We as believers also have the privilege to hear what he is saying. So let's read the text this morning. And then I want us to kind of put it into context of everything that he has said. Remember the context of the parable of the seeds. He's talked about the seed that goes on the hard path. It doesn't produce any fruit. Satan comes, takes it away. The seed goes on the rocky path. It springs up for a little bit. It has some fruit there for a short time. But persecution and tribulation, it says, comes, chokes that away. Makes the seed go away. And then the person that hears the gospel on thorny ground, says the cares of the world come and choke it away. It's not able to produce fruit. But only the seed that goes on good soil is the one who actually has heard the gospel. That's what his point is. Go back with me, if you would, to verse 20. Here is his point of the gospel, of this parable here in verse 20. But to those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who, what? Hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Those first three soils, they heard it but didn't hear it. We're all prone to that. And here's his point. That's his transition into verse 21 through verse 34 as he talks about the rest of the kingdom, is he wants us to make certain that we hear it and to lean a little closer because he has shared the secret of the parable of the soil. Go back with me to verse 11 because the disciples didn't get it at first. They hadn't leaned in close enough. And so Jesus has to reiterate to them because listen in verse 11. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything in parables." Verse 12. "So they may indeed see, but not perceive. May indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Jesus is saying to us in this parable that we're going to learn in verse 21 through 34 that if we're listening and Jesus has sovereignly chosen for us to hear it, he's going to allow us to understand this. So we need to lean in and listen to what he is saying. So that's his transition to get to verse 21 because he's not starting something new. He's continuing his conversation as he says there at the end of verse 20, "To those who heard it produced good fruit." And then he said to them in verse 21, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed or not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, or anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Three times he said that. So when someone says it that many times, guess what he wants them to do? He wants them to hear. Here it is in verse 24. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Let's stop there and break that down, and then we're going to see the next two parables that fits this and begins to help illumine Jesus' meaning. What is Jesus' point? I'm going to give it to you this way, particular way. Number one, what Jesus wants us to understand is the secret of the kingdom is available to those who are willing to hear. You this morning, sitting in this room this morning, if you want to hear the Word of God and you're willing to hear it, He wants to give it to you. If you're saying, Lord, teach me, speak to me, illumine me, He's willing to give this to you. So He says it right here in verse 21. Now, I'm going to show you something here in this passage of Scripture. I've looked at almost every translation of the New Testament, and I'm going to be bold to say this. Every one of them misses something very significant in verse 21. Look at it. And He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket? You see that first little indefinite article there, a, before the lamp? Actually, in the Greek, it is a definite article, the. Now, you may see that's insignificant. I found one translator who got it right. What's the point? Jesus is not talking about some general lamp here. Read it this way with me. Is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under bed or not on a stand? He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about things being seen. So guess who's the lamp? Jesus is the lamp. He is the light of the world. Jesus is saying to them, listen, He's just explained to them back in the previous paragraph in regards to the soils that the seed is sown, and that is the gospel, He says. It's the Word of God. Well, guess who's the Word? Christ is the Word. So Jesus is saying, am I to come and simply to be put under a basket? Am I to come and simply not to be put up on a stand? I am coming to bring light to the world. He's saying, listen, I'm here to illumine the darkness. I'm here to reveal the secrets of the mystery. This is why Paul calls the mystery of the kingdom in the New Testament in all of his letters. He says the mystery has been revealed now to us. So he's saying, and you get to verse 22, and he says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Now, sometimes what Jesus is saying here is that there are certain times that things are going to be revealed more so later. We see it even, if you go back with me to chapter 2, let me prove the point to you. There are times in Jesus' Gospels, how many of you have read the Gospels when you see when Jesus says, now don't go tell anybody? Okay? The reason for that is because it's a secret, it's going to be revealed at the right time. And so His ministry had to expand because He couldn't go to Jerusalem until it was the right time for Him to die. So when He tells them, hey, don't go there yet, because He wants His ministry to expand. We see it, look at Mark chapter 1, and look away to verse 40 through verse 45. Now, here's what's interesting as well, is that when Jesus tells people not to do it, sometimes they don't listen very well, do they? He says, don't go and tell, and what do some of them do? They go and, man, they're just telling. They can't help before what Christ has done. But look at me, verse 40. And a leper came to Him, imploring Him. This is Mark 1. And kneeling said to Him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, He stretched out His hand, touched Him, and said to Him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left Him, and He was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged Him and sent Him away at once and said to Him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. Why? Because the area in which this man lived, it wasn't time yet for Christ to be fully revealed. It was back in Mark chapter 4, what Jesus is saying, it's that secret that's going to be manifest at the right time. Now, some of you have certain things that you hold and you wait till the right time to display them. One of the best illustrations for this is when parents or grandparents get things for their kids around Christmas that's coming up. Some of you have some things that are hidden, don't you? Okay, parents, don't answer that question then. And you wait till the right time to reveal that. You know what it is, and you know the right time to give that to them. Christ here is the light that's coming to the world, and He's coming into this Galilean region, and He's explaining to the disciples. This is the whole point, because the disciples are asking the question about this parable, about the kingdom, and the seed of the gospel being sown. And Jesus is saying to them, listen, I came, and the more that I'm going to be here, the more that I'm going to be revealing myself to wherever we're going, and the truth is going to be made clear. That's what He's saying. But He's saying to them, listen, if someone is willing to hear it, they're going to hear it and receive it. Everybody got that? I mean, think about it so far. Jesus has already encountered some people who have been willing to receive it, and He's encountered some people who've not heard it. I mean, think about the Pharisees in Mark chapter 3 and the Herodians when He's in the temple. What do they want to do? They've heard Him preaching. They've heard Him say the same thing that He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. They've heard Him say that, but guess what the Pharisees and the Herodians do? They're not receiving it. They're criticizing. They're not receiving it. They're seeking to kill Him. But the disciples have heard it and they're following Him. They've heard the same message, but they're not being willing to hear this message as well. Now, let me also say this to you also. You can't hear it unless God enables you to hear it. So the willingness to hear is granted by the Father to enable us to hear it. But when you have been giving hearing ears to hear, even though you've been giving hearing ears to hear, sometimes we turn away from the ability to hear the truth. So if we're willing to hear it, we need to listen a little closer, because even some of us in this room, there's probably times you can look in your own life, there may have been seasons as a Christian when you were listening real intently, growing rapidly, maturing quickly because you were listening, you were reading, you were soaking it in. And there may have been times when you weren't leaning in and listening so much and you were kind of stagnant and plateaued. Describe anybody in the room? Jesus is saying to us, listen, and He said to them there again in verse 23, if you have ears to hear, let him hear it. So guess what that means? If you've been able to hear it, He still says you have to tune in. So then He says to them again in verse 24, so pay attention to what you hear. Now, I love this next part here, because this next part that He says in verse 24 is actually used several times in the New Testament. Look at it with me, because what He's saying to us is this. If you're able to hear and you want to hear it, He's going to give you more. Look at verse 24. And He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Okay, the instruction that He's given is what? Pay attention to what you hear. Then He gives this principle. He says, the measure that you use, it's measured back to you. Now, what in the world does Jesus mean? Jesus uses this on two other occasions, one in Matthew and one in Luke. Let me show you what He means and show you these other examples so you can understand what He's saying. Look at Matthew chapter 7 with me. The first example is in talking about judgment and judging others. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 and verse 2. Do you realize that Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 is actually the most quoted verse in society today? Judge not, lest you be judged. And it's taken way out of context in the way that our society uses it today. Used to, John 3:16 was the most quoted text, but Matthew 7:1 is the one that's most quoted in secular society today. But Jesus is not talking about judging there. He's talking about judging hypocritically is His point. But what does He say in verse 2? Judge not, that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and here it is, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Same thing He said in Mark chapter 4. What's His point? He's saying in this passage, if you're going to judge hypocritically, then that same type of judgment is going to come right back to you. You judge people hypocritically, that's the measure that's going to come back to you. If you judge them wrongly, they're going to judge you wrongly. It's a principle of what you give, you're receiving that. Let me show you another one. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now, in this gospel, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus is not just talking about judging, although He mentions it. He's also going to be mentioning about giving. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and, excuse me, verse 38. So He says the same thing in Luke 6, 37, but I want you to see the principle that He gives in verse 38, and then we're going to see what He means back in Mark chapter 4 about listening and hearing and the kingdom and how it applies to you and me. Luke 6, verse 37, judge not and you'll not be judged. Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Do you see the give and the take there? Don't judge, you won't be judged. Don't condemn, you won't be condemned. But if you forgive, you're going to be forgiven. What you give, the way that you give is what you're going to receive back. You understand condemnation is the exact opposite of forgiveness. So then notice what he says in verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. Here's the principle. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Anybody ever heard of Ron Canole? He's a worship leader. And man, he's energetic and he's fun. He has a song on this particular passage of Scripture. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Give, and it will come back to you. When you give to the Lord. Man, he rocks on that song. I mean, that their choir just going. I heard that years ago and it just stuck in my head. What the point is that Jesus is saying here, the way that you're going to give is the way that you're going to give back. And he says the measure that you use, the measure that's going to be given back to you. Now, he says that in those two passages, and he says it again in Mark. Go back to Mark, and now with that understanding, let's see what Jesus means. Verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. For the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Notice he adds something there. What's his point? In Matthew 7, it's judge not. The measure you use, it's going to be measured back to you. Luke 6, give. The measure you use, the measure is given back to you. Mark 4, listen and hear. And the measure that you use, the more it's going to come back to you. What's his point? The more that you're hearing, the more he's going to give instructions and teaching and knowledge and illumination to you. That's his point. So you, as a believer, if you're struggling, stagnant, and plateaued in your walk with Christ, let me say this to you. Lean a little closer. Because he's saying to us, the measure that you're using, he's going to give more to you. Why would he want to give you more if you won't even listen to what he's giving you now? He's not going to open up your understanding to give you more if you're not even going to listen to what he wants to give you in this moment. The point that Jesus is making to his disciples is he needs them to get it. He's going to train them. He's going to equip them. He's going to send them out. He wants them to hear. Because he says he's going to give them more. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you want more? I do. I want more. I want the Lord to open up the windows of heaven and just fill me up with truth. And I can tell you, honestly, when there have been days that I've gotten so busy and I've not stopped to have my communion with the Lord, there's a big difference I can tell in my life. You amened it, so it must be true for you too. But when we take the time to commune with the Lord and we sit with Him and we read the Word, then the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, illumines us, fills us, and we are full of the truth. But here's the thing. We want more when we get that, don't we? We're never satisfied. Say, man, I'm just so full, I can't have any more. Man, when we get the Lord and He illumines us, He fills us, we just want more and more and more. And when you come and you get fed through the Word, through a small group or through a sermon, you just want to get more and more and more. Why? Because He's wanting to give you more if you're being a good steward of what He is giving to you. Now, here's the thing. There's a warning in this passage of Scripture, verse 25. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, what he has will be taken away. Do you realize that if you're willing as a believer, as he's telling his disciples, to receive it, he's going to give you more. But he's saying if you're just hearing it and doing nothing with it, it's going to be taken away. Now, he's not talking about losing your salvation. Let's make sure that you understand that. He's talking about the truth and the knowledge. Now, he's already made it clear that earlier, that someone comes and snatches away the truth. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Why? Because they have heard it but haven't heard it. So we understand something that when the gospel is going forth and the seed is sowing, sometimes people are hearing it but not hearing it, and Satan comes and snatches it away. But as a believer, we have the privilege through the Holy Spirit who lives in us to illumine us and help us to understand and get the truth. We want it. So that's the first truth I want you to see from this morning, is that the secret is available for you and me to hear it and to receive it. And listen, if we as a Christian, as a church, want for God to give us more, then we've got to press in and listen more. We've got to pursue Him more. Listen, this principle is throughout all of the Bible. We just memorized one of those a couple of months ago in Jeremiah 33:3. Seek me and you will what? Find me. The Lord wants to reveal Himself to us, to you, to me, to you dad, to you mom, to you parent, to you single father, to you widow. He wants to reveal Himself to us. Why? Because He doesn't want to be under a bushel. He doesn't want to be under a bed. He doesn't want to be on a basket. He wants to be upon the stand. He wants to be visible for us to see and experience the glory of Christ. Well, Jesus gives us two parables after this to help illumine more about the kingdom. Notice what He says there in verse 25 and verse 26. He continues, and He said. So the first truth that He's giving us in verse 21 through 25 is that He's going to reveal more if we're willing to hear. The second truth He wants us to get in this next parable is that the kingdom is going to grow supernaturally for those willing to hear. Now, you may put credit upon yourself as we read this, say, well, it's because I'm doing this, this, and this. Yeah, there's responsibility in ourselves, but understand something. If the kingdom of God is growing in us, it's because it's the work of God doing it. Let's look at the parable. Because Jesus is saying, and He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Has He not even been talking about seed already? He's been talking about seed in the previous, and He's given that same agricultural illustration here. He's saying the kingdom is like this with the seed. What is that seed? We know the seed earlier, back in verse 14, the seed sows what? The word. So we know, thank you, brother, the seed here is the gospel. And we know here when He gets to this particular part of Scripture that He's going to show us that the seed, our responsibility, not only are we hearing it, but when the sowed and our responsibility of sowing the word is that we have to trust that God is going to be the one who makes it grow. Let's read the parable together. Verse 26. And He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. We are privileged that we have some of you who serve in our garden. Mr. Harry serves back there and leads that ministry. It's a miracle how that can go from dirt to vegetables. For this year, for the first time, we got to do a small garden at our yard and got to have our kids to participate with us and putting seed in the ground. We wanted them to learn to see the miracle of God, to put these little bitty tiny seeds, you know, especially those broccoli seeds and kale seeds. I mean, you drop one, you might as well drop 15. I mean, they're so tiny. And you're putting those in the ground. You know, they say scatter them so much. I'm like, forget that. You know, just put them in the ground. I'll weed it out later. You know what I'm talking about? Right, Mr. Harry? Those things are tiny, you know. But here's the thing. You put that in the ground, I'm not making that do anything. This is His point in the passage of the Scripture. Remember, follow the order. He's told the disciples, we scatter the seed. Some goes on hard ground, some on rocky, some on thorny, and some on good soil. And He says, now listen, I want you to hear this. If you're willing to hear me, you're going to receive more about the kingdom. So His responsibility is telling them, now, when you go and scatter the seed, your job is just to scatter the seed. It falls on the ground, and then it supernaturally brings life. Notice the order there. Verse 28, the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. It was so cool. After we planted our garden, after 5 or 6 days, we're getting ready to go to school, and we get in the van, and some green sprouts are coming up. And the kid's like, Dad, it's already growing! Isn't it amazing? I mean, just honestly. I mean, I grew up in the country, and I'm still amazed to this day that stuff can come from something so small. It's a miracle. And this is the point that Jesus is making. Notice what the farmer does. What does he do? Verse 27, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. What's his point? He's saying to the disciples, your job is simply going to be to sow the seed. Allow the supernatural work of God to bring life from the seed of the Word. Do you know that there is no horticulturist on the planet today that it can explain how a seed gets in the ground, dies, and brings life? All they can tell you is that it happens. They cannot explain to you. Now, they can talk about germination, but that's once a plant's up in the sky. But what Jesus is saying to the disciples is, for those who are willing to hear it, and you're sharing the gospel, plant the seed and go to bed. Now, some of you are thinking on that one, aren't you? Does that mean that we're lazy? No. Guess what? Before the seed can grow, the farmer has to plant it. So in order for the seed of the gospel to have the partnership of the supernatural work of God to bring forth life, you and I are to do this. Sow the seed. And when it lands on the soil, you can't go to bed every night fretting, God, did they get it? Did they receive it? I'm not sure if my children are going to make it or not. I'm not sure if my grandchildren. He says, go to bed and go to sleep. Anybody fretting about family? Anybody worrying about children, grandchildren, siblings, co-workers? Jesus is saying to the disciples, sow the seed. God is the one that's going to make it come to life. You and I can't do anything. Although we want to desperately, don't we? I mean, we want to make it grow. You know what's disappointing is that when you sow the seed and nothing happens in a person's life. And you think that they've gotten it. And all the time they could have just been blowing smoke and just tricking you. You know what's so disappointing? To illustrate it, we spent all day planting our garden and only half of my garden came up. You know how disappointing that is? Now I can mope about it, or I can do what? Plant more seed. This is Jesus' point to his disciples. That he's saying, look, this is his point that he's saying back in verse 23 and verse 24. If you have ears, hear this. Hear it. Because guess what? They're not trained yet to be sent out. That didn't happen until Mark chapter 6. But he wants them to understand the kingdom of God is a supernatural growing element. It's not something made by man. We plant the seed and allow God to grow that seed. You know, this principle is seen elsewhere. Paul actually reiterates this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 when people were arguing about trying to follow Apollos and some following Peter. And what does Paul say? He says, look, Apollos watered, Peter planted, but God is the one who does what? He gives the growth. What's his point? We're all fellow builders in the kingdom. Our point and our responsibility is simply to grow it. Listen, I know it's tough to be patient sometimes, isn't it? Man, I want to see God do an amazing work here, but I can't make it happen. But what I can do is plant seed, water seed, and be on my knees and pray. And just let God do it. And listen, as a pastor, I get emails and I see things that are advertised. 10 things that's guaranteed to make your church grow. You know, come to this conference and we're going to make your church grow. And that's all well and good. And there are certain things that we can learn from those things. But listen, absent of the work of God, it's all man-made stuff. And in the fall. So what does this mean for us? If we want to be hearing what the disciples are saying, if we want to see the kingdom grow, we want to see the kingdom spread, then we have to plant the seed and trust that God is going to work. This doesn't mean that we can be lazy. We have to be ready to plant that seed. But notice verse 29, because guess what's going to happen at some point? When the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You know what Jesus is saying? There's going to come a time when it's going to be harvest time. And at the very end, Jesus is going to come and he's going to gather those who are his. It's time now to plant the seed and trust that God's going to be the one that grows it. So the first point that he's making to us is if we're willing to hear, he's going to give it to us. The second point he wants us to understand is this. If we're willing to hear, then he's going to let us understand that it's going to grow supernaturally. It's not something that we can make happen. The third thing that I want you to see in this last parable, verse 30 through verse 34, is that when the kingdom does get planted in someone's life, it grows and impacts others. Let me just take a step back here. Jesus, when he's talking about the kingdom of God, and I want to make certain that we're on the same page. When Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, he's talking about the rule and the reign of Christ in someone's life. So when Jesus is saying, spread the seed of the gospel, the kingdom, this is what he means in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because he's the king of the kingdom. And he's saying, repent and believe in him. If you believe in him as the king of the kingdom, then you become a part of the kingdom, and Christ is the king over your hearts. So when you get to these passages of Scripture talking about the kingdom growing, listen, in us, we want God to do the work of the growth of the kingdom in us as well. And also understand this. It does it supernaturally. So when you place faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and he's going to grow you, but the more that you're leaning in to him and listening, he's going to grow you more. And we get this next parable in verse 30 through verse 34 that he's understanding that when the kingdom is coming and it's going to be in us, it's going to grow and impact. So let's listen to what he says. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed before? Very few. I guess next week we'll bring mustard seed and pass it out so you'll understand what Jesus is saying here. Mustard seed is small. It wasn't the smallest seed on the planet. It's bigger than a kale seed or a broccoli seed. It's a little bit bigger. It's smaller than a pea, about the half the size of a pea. Jesus is saying, from this small little seed, it grows into a mustard tree. A mustard tree, when it grows, it is 15 feet high and 6 feet in diameter. That's amazing. From a tiny seed. What is Jesus' point? That the gospel of the kingdom, for those who are willing to hear, when it is planted, it can grow to something massive. That the rule and the reign of Christ in your heart, when it's planted there, it starts small, but God is going to grow it. That it's something that as it grows, it is impacting to the others. Now listen, let's go make this twofold application here. At this point, remember, Jesus is the secret that's slowly being revealed to different people. And at this point, the kingdom hasn't spread to all nations. Jesus is letting his disciples know that although it's just a small group right now of 12, at some point the kingdom is going to grow much bigger than just the 12, and it's going to be big enough, and it's going to start something small, but it's going to be so massive even the birds of the air can come and land there. That is from the prophetic word of Ezekiel and Daniel. Ezekiel and Daniel both talk about the birds in reference to the different nations. Jesus is saying that the kingdom is like a seed that's planted, the tree grows, and the birds representing of all the different nations will come into the kingdom. Jesus' point is right now, boys, it's small, but as you begin to spread the gospel and the kingdom begins to grow, it's going to reach even to the ends of the earth, and all nations will be a part of this kingdom. Look at Mark chapter 6. Has everybody got that? You with me understanding that? Mark chapter 6. This is when he begins to set the gospel and the kingdom beginning to spread. Verse 7. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. Verse 12. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. That is the beginning of the spread of the kingdom. And you get to the Gospel of Acts and you see that the gospel begins to spread from Jerusalem to Judea and to Galilee, Samaria with Philippi. Philip, and then you get on, keeps spreading, it keeps going, and Paul begins to make his three missionary journeys and he ends up all the way in the Rome. Guess what's happening? The mustard tree is growing. And guess what? It's in Lacombe. It's in Canada. It's in Chile. It's in India. It's in South America. It's in South Africa. It's in Nigeria. It's in Indonesia. It's in the Philippines. Guess what's happening? The mustard tree is much bigger than 15 feet tall. Why? Because the gospel, when it's planted, it grows and it impacts other people and lives are changed. Here's what we do with this. Does that mean that we stop sowing the seed because it's in all those places? No, because there's still people in Lacombe who need to hear the gospel of the kingdom. And in your own life. Listen, there's two ways to apply this. Jesus is talking about the gospel and the kingdom growing, and many nations are going to land in that and be impacted by that. But guess what? I want to see this from a personal level. May we see this and say, God, would you allow the kingdom to grow so much in me that my own life can grow to impact many people as well? Just like the kingdom is going and impacting many nations, may we see it. Lord, I want to be back what you say, back in verse 23, back in verse 24. Lord, I want a measure that I'm using. I want to listen. I want you to grow me so that you can grow my own life, so that you can impact other people for the sake of the kingdom. Listen, I do not want to just exist and just live and die. I want to live in such a way that my life is impactful upon people. I want my relationship with God to be growing, that it causes people to want to be like Jesus. I want my relationship to be growing, that it impacts you, and I want the same for you. I want all of us to be growing, and the kingdom of God is growing in us, so that our own lives of growth of the kingdom is impacting husbands, spouses, children, grandchildren, neighbors, and co-workers, so that people want to be a part of the kingdom of God that Christ proclaimed. Now notice Jesus' conclusion here. In verse 33, Jesus says, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. He's given them the truth because they're willing to hear the truth. Let me ask you this question this morning, believer. Are you leaning in and listening to the voice of God? Jesus makes it very clear in John 10 that his sheep will hear his voice. If you want to hear, he's willing to speak. If you want to mature, he's willing to grow you. Listen. The Bible proclaims truths in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you, he's going to bring that to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something, in all honesty, it is a work of God and it's through the Spirit of God. But there's also responsibility in our own selves. You can sit back and cruise as a Christian and you can change very little in your maturity and your knowledge of the Word. You can press in and you get an accelerated course and God will grow you, sanctify you, mature you, and make you more like Him much quicker than just coming just listen to one sermon on Sunday morning. May we as believers press in, lean a little closer, and hear what Christ is saying to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truths of your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you long to give us insight into your word and insight into you, even as you mentioned to the disciples that you wanted them to hear. Listen, you said to them, hear what you wanted them to hear. God, I pray that we as Christians, we as a church, will not just hear but not hear, but that we would hear and that we would listen to what you're saying to us. So God, how you want to give us more, even as you said there in verse 24, the measure that we use will be measured back to us. So Lord, I pray for those in this room and for us as we are so prone to just cruise at time and just simply coast in our walk with you. Lord, help us to press in, not out of duty, but out of joy to spend time with you. And may you fill us, may you grow us in our relationship with you. God, I pray, even as the parables that we've saw, that we would be faithful to sow the seed of the gospel as a church and as individuals, and not fret and not worry. Pray out of concern for lost friends and lost family, be broken for him, but trust that you are the one who's going to take that seed and bring life from that seed. And God, help us as an individual and as a church to be a church that the kingdom of God is growing in us individually and corporately, that we can be like that mustard tree that's growing so that people from all walks of life can come and be a part of this place because they're impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask if there are any in this room who've heard the gospel for the first time, Lord, we pray that they would believe the gospel and be saved today. Give them faith to believe in you, that the kingdom can take root and begin to grow. Lord, I pray if there are any in this room this morning whose hearts are heavy with many different things, God, by your grace, through your Spirit, meet them where they are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we respond, there will be ministers here. Myself and Jared will be here to pray with you if you need us to. Think through the word that we've just heard this morning. Are you sowing? Are you trusting? Maybe you need to pray for someone that you've sown the seed of the gospel in for God to bring fruit. You just respond as God's placed upon your heart this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.